Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast. Gravity Leadership is a community of people seeking to live our lives in the orienting center of God's love in the midst of our post-Christian world, learning to lead like Jesus, live on mission, and make disciples. In nature, gravity is the phenomenon that brings stuff together, objects as small as atoms and quarks, and as large as stars and galaxies. We believe the gravity of the Christian life is the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. The Gravity Leadership Podcast is curated conversations on what it looks like to practically orient our lives and our leadership in the love of Christ, the gravity that holds everything together.
This is us recording.
Yep,
we pushed the button.
Gravity Leadership Podcast, episode 300?
No, 40, it's 50-something.
50-something.
50-something, but the anniversary we're celebrating is that we released our first three episodes of this podcast all at once on March 14th, 2018, and this episode is being released on March 12th, 2019, so it's basically our year anniversary this week.
Yeah.
We're basically amazing. We're just
One year,
guys.
No, I'm less impressed with us and more just I don't know. I'm just thinking about like it seems crazy that it's been an entire year, and then in another sense, it seems like well, this is what we do every week.
Right.
It seems like we've always been doing this.
Right.
I suppose we have though, because in a sense, we have these conversations. We just started recording them.
Right.
You know, kind of for more general audiences. So.
Right. Yeah. We've just been scheduling them in and putting them out for posterity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, posterity.
Anyway, way to go, everybody.
Yeah.
Hardman, congratulations.
I'm impressed with us, Ben.
All right. All right. I didn't.
We recorded this every week. We did it.
It's been fun to do this. We are actually beginning today a new series. It's not really a year anniversary series, but.
No.
But if you're into those kinds of things, you can consider it that. We're going to start talking about power. And our relationship to power as Christians, and all the ways that impacts and affects us in our world. We're going to set that up today, the first of two introductory podcasts on that, and then have a lot of interviews and conversations about that. But first, before we jump into that, I thought it'd be nice just to share a bit, maybe if you guys are up for it, like what are you reading these days? What is exciting you or filling your mind with all kinds of good stuff? Hardman, what are you reading this year?
I am just finishing a book called The Book of Questions by Warren Berger. And I've actually really enjoyed it. It's really great for coaching. It's helped me think through good coaching questions and discernment questions. Here's some questions when you're stuck, those kinds of things. It's not actually a book about faith, but it's a book about curiosity and questions and I've enjoyed it.
That's a huge part of what we train leaders to do, incidentally.
Yeah.
Right? It's just getting curious about people's lives, about their own lives. There's gold in them, their hills.
That's rad. We just had an email this week asking us about questions. Didn't we?
I think it was a text message, but it was a message of like, hey, do you have
written,
a list of
Yeah, you have a list,
have
of,
a
questions.
List of questions. So we could recommend that book to this person who asked for a list of questions.
The Book of Questions by...
The Book of Questions. Warren Berger.
Berger.
How, is it B-E-R-G-E-R?
B-E-R-G-E-R.
B-U-R-G-E-R.
How about you?
Okay, so I'm... I felt a little sheepish saying this because this is kind of a nerdy book, but I'm reading a book called The Flesh of the Church, Flesh of Christ. And it's basically by a guy named... I think it's a French guy. It's a translation. By a guy named J.M.R. Tillard. And most people think I'm saying Tellyard, but that's not him. This is a different guy.
This is a different guy?
Yeah, J.M.R. Tillard. And it's basically an ecclesiology of communion. And it really is blowing my mind.
When you say ecclesiology really of communion, you mean like... unpack that, because you're using lots of big words.
Sorry.
That's my job on this podcast, to use words.
So a lot of times when people say ecclesiology, what they're referring to is the structure of the church or the governance of the church. Like, how is the church governed?
Yeah.
They're talking like, okay, do you have bishops or an elder board or what do you have? But this guy's saying actually prior to, underneath, and more importantly than how this church is governed and structured is to be able to describe what the church is in its being. Ontology is another kind of big word for that. But what is the church in its being? And he basically lays out this argument that, like, the hierarchy is important, sure, how we're governed is important, but you can't actually ask any of those questions until you begin to ask the questions of, like, what is the church in its essence? And basically he's saying, in its essence, is the church is a communion. It's the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We're all members. So there's this, like, mystical connection that we have with one another in the body of Christ and with Christ. And then from that point, we can start to talk about what do we do on Sundays and who should, you know, be in charge and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. Beautiful. It's a beautiful book. It's a little dense.
It is pretty nerdy.
Reader be warned.
Yeah,
but it's a great
nerdy
book. How about you, Matt?
Well, I actually take some, you guys do this too, but I've been taking more of the lead in scheduling people to get on this Power podcasting series.
Scheduling interviews.
Yeah. And so I'm reading two books for upcoming interviews. Can I mention those?
Sure.
The first is The Bible. You guys heard of it?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We got
Jesus Bible, on the show?
Jesus juked.
You just got Bible juked. No, the first is a book by our friend Adam Gustin called Becoming a Just Church.
Oh, yeah.
Cultivating Communities of God's Shalom. And we're going to have Adam on the podcast in a few weeks.
We actually had him on 6 months ago.
We did.
Or so.
Yep.
Or maybe it was even longer than that. But
he's got a lot of good things to say.
He does.
And then I'm also reading Postcards from Babylon, which is Bran Zahn's latest book about being a Christian in empire and how that shapes and forms us and the pitfalls and potentials that comes from
great.
That.
They're both, and we're going to interview him too, yeah?
Yep, we're going to have Brian back on the podcast as well. So those are exciting.
It's excellent.
Yeah, it's actually fun when you get to read books for interviews that you want to read anyway.
That's kind of cool.
It's not like school where you have to read books that you don't want to read.
Yeah, and then you get to have a conversation with the author about the book rather than just like write a book report or, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's great.
That's cool. We should probably do that more often just to let people know what we're reading, what's kind of...
Yeah, I think that's... Whenever somebody on a podcast I'm listening to says, "What are you reading?" my ears perk up. It's interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's jump in then to this maybe introductory podcast.
Yeah.
Over the last several years, we talk about this offline a lot, and we've talked about it on social media and just in our relationship, friendship, guys. But there have been a hell ton of church scandals.
Mm-hmm. A plethora.
A lot of, like, so just off the top of my head, like, over the last 10 years, you know, the Roman Catholic Church has had tons of abuse that's come out, and it sort of, like, comes in waves, right? You've got this first wave and a second wave, and now there's a book released that I was reading up a review of that talks about how rampant sexual abuse is in the Vatican, and it's this bombshell, and a lot of my family and friends are Catholics, and they're disillusioned and discouraged. They're, you know, heart sick about it. We have people at our church, Ben, who've come from the Catholic Church because of this, right? you know, and you may be on the other side of the coin. You've got the Southern Baptist Convention having this bombshell Houston article released in the last several weeks about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases of what was sexual abuse that did not get reported to authorities, people who alleged perpetrators got shuffled around to different churches. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got, I spent a lot of time in the Chicagoland area about 10 years ago, and two of the largest churches with the biggest footprints in the Chicago suburbs were Harvest Bible Chapel and Willow Creek. And they've both had these huge scandals in the last year, 2 years, right?
Yeah.
You know, just in the last month, the founding pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, James McDonald, who had a really well-known popular radio ministry, walked through the Word for years. I'm sure if you've ever listened to K-Love, you've probably heard James McDonald's voice, right? And he's planted dozens of churches all over the country that are affiliated with Harvest Bible Chapel. He was, you know, fired. He was put on leave by his elder board for abuse of power, basically.
Yeah.
And then, you know, most people are familiar with what's going on at Willow Creek and Bill Hybels being fired. And just today, Willow Creek released their findings of their internal investigation on everything that happened with, you know, Bill Hybels' inappropriate relationships with some women on staff, but also the culture of fear that he that he created at Willow Creek. And so this advisory group, I'm just going to read just this small part here. Advisory group found the women who've accused Bill Hybels credible. They found Bill Hybels guilty of verbal and sexual behaviors, verbal abuse of both women and men, and an assortment of power problems, creating a culture of fear. And what struck me as I read this article, we'd already planned to do this podcast series months ago, but if there's any Christian leader in the last 30 years who had earned our trust about leadership, it's Bill Hybels. Right? So he started the Global Leadership Summit. Is that what it's called? I think that's what it's called.
I think that's right.
And it was multicast in all kinds of churches. It's been a huge thing for at least 10 years, if not 20. And it just struck me that all of the paragons for what leadership and power should look like in the kingdom, they are systematically failing us. One by one, you know, every authority system structure person that we've looked to, whether we're Catholic or Baptist or, you know, just non-denominational Protestant, like if we just listen to radio preachers, like all these authority figures that we give our trust to and who have some kind of power or influence over us, they're being exposed as not only not experts on leadership, but abusive and damaging leaders.
Isn't that
mind-blowing?
It is. It's like it's a new situation, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's interesting that all this stuff, I mean, it's interesting that it's all coming out too at the same time as all this stuff in Hollywood.
Yeah,
all
Harvey
this
stuff, Weinstein and Aziz Ansari.
Right, and you see Louis it in different sector, like the government sector as well, like all this, you know, all this revelation of all this abuse of power. And that seems to be the common thread through it all is an abuse of power.
Yeah, so we have this cultural moment where we are, maybe people aren't being abusive now, and they never were, but we have eyes to see it, and we're no longer complicit or being silent about it. Harman, does this does this blow your mind a bit that this is all happening right now?
Absolutely, and I think you could take it into any sector. I mean, you think about like my wife works in banking and finance, the Wells Fargo situations. Like there's these constant situations of abuses of power, of greed, of I mean, just all of these pictures of broken leadership and broken leadership structures. And I'm curious to see what the consequences of that becomes for the people that are following, right? Do we hide? Do we just get cynical and mistrust all leaders in all spaces? You know, like there is damage that is happening because of these things in this cultural moment that I don't know that we have seen yet or that we quite understand or fully comprehend yet.
That's good.
Yeah, Ben.
And I think the other temptation, and this is part of the reason we want to do this series, because like we could say, like, look at all these crazy scandals, and then by the same token go, well, what does that have to do with us? You know, like how can we talk about these things if we're not going to just, you know, bash those terrible people out there who are doing these terrible things, right? Or if we're just gonna hide from it. And so I think one of the things that happens inside of us is that we look at a situation, you know, like all the stuff you just named, Matt. We look at that situation and we think, oh, wow, I thought they were a good guy, but I guess they're a bad guy. So don't be bad. Don't be a bad individual leader.
Yep.
Like that's the answer. Don't be a bad individual leader. But we think there's something deeper at work here. There's something more systemic at work. We think there's something about the way that we as Christians have learned to think about power that made those, you know, those situations are extreme in some ways, right? They're sort of, and they're, because they're happening to big churches and famous leaders, you know, we know about them. But this kind of thing happens in small churches. This kind of thing happens in house churches. This thing happens in families. Yep. Like this kind of stuff happens all the time.
Happens in Arby's, right?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, I'm just saying, there's no segment of society like, untouched.
Even Arby's. Government, Hollywood, Arby's.
Yes.
Right. So it happens. It happens. It happens everywhere. And I think part of it is a function of the way that we have thought about and inhabited and held power as Christians, which made it seem in the moment. These people aren't like in the moment. The people who make these choices aren't doing so because they're trying to hurt people, because they're evil at their core.
Yes, Bill Hybels didn't plant a church so he could ruin tens of thousands of people's lives.
That's not why he did it, right?
Nope.
And so there's something about the way we think about and inhabit power that makes all of these decisions that we can look back on and say, wow, how terrible. In the moment, that seemed like the right thing to do, that seemed like the prudent thing to do, it seemed like the expedient thing to do, and that's what we want to talk about. Like, what is it about the way we think about power that makes those things prevalent, common, you know, for all of us.
Yes, and not just like what is the way we think about power that creates, you know, like a Bill Hybels or a James McDonald, right? Uh-huh. But why, like, let's just say you, Ben and Matt, why are we so attracted to that kind of power? Mm-hmm. It's not like these people had small platforms. And, you know, like a David Koresh, this cult leader from, you know, Waco, Texas, like he abused power, but he only had like 40 people who actually, you know, bought into it, right? So the damage he created was rather small. But like, we're talking about like tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
When they see this abusive power, maybe don't have language for why it's abusive. That's part of it. But the other part of it is they're drawn to it. They desire to be around people who inhabit and embody power in that way, which is
we're power hungry, right?
Yeah, which is also so, part of this phenomenon.
Yeah. So even in the a sense where we see Christian culture where there is any sort of advantage or power gained, political power or cultural power or anything, we pursue that power, and so we pursue that competency that comes out of those leaders that give us any bit of that power. So if we can take any ground, it's like a by any means necessary, we'll take that ground because we're hungry for that same kind of power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that this brings out a lot of the what the problem is in these situations. It isn't just one bad apple, so to speak. It isn't just one bad leader, but it's a whole system that enables and empowers and hides like the actions of that leader.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole system,
it's good, Ben.
You know, including people who follow and who are attracted to this leadership. There's a whole system that props it all up. That these leaders can never act alone. They have to, there's a system, right?
And part of that. Yeah. They recruit and groom enablers.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of that then, you know, part of that then is the system or those who are attracted, those of us who are attracted to that power, like we become complicit because it just becomes unimaginable that couldn't really have been happening.
Right.
Or, you know?
Right.
And we dismiss allegations and all kinds of stuff that, again, we've seen happen over and over in these churches.
So the purpose then of this series isn't to dunk on Bill Hybels.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, bless the man. Right?
Yeah, and I think our response to these things is just as revealing as the struggle with power. Right? Mm. The way that we react to this, like Ben, what you were saying of, we react to it as say like, well, there's a dark side and a light side, and that guy's obviously evil, and so we can't do, you know, that's not in me. There's none of that in me. I could never do any of those kinds of things.
Right.
Or we respond to it by like, I've seen so many people with the Hybels thing, they just murder the methods, right? So that's all those big churches, right? There's no way a big church could ever be holy. There's no way, you know, this. And so we respond to it in ways that's also revealing just culturally of what's going on in us.
Yeah.
And we don't ever respond to these issues and just get curious. Right? The What's William the Book of Questions, Warren Berger, right?
Yeah.
We don't dig in and just get curious. And that's one of the reasons I'm super excited about this series, guys, is just getting curious about this and digging in and asking some questions about culture and about leadership and about ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we want to do that. We want to ask why. What is it about this kind of power that is so attractive? How does it impact us? What areas of life? We've mostly talked about churches and Arby's, but like it impacts other things as well, right? So power impacts how men and women relate to each other.
That's right.
Power impacts how white people and black people relate to each other.
Yep.
Power impacts how people who identify as LGBTQ identify with people who are heterosexual. It impacts that relationship as with gender, right?
Yeah. Adults and children.
Adults and children. It impacts
Republicans and Democrats.
Republicans and Democrats. And what is power? So we don't want to just blame the church for this. Church is caught up in a larger cultural phenomenon. But we do want to peel back the layers of the ways in which this, we'll call it an ungodly orientation in power, to power, how it impacts all these different aspects of our humanhood, of our human personality.
Yeah.
And we'll take a look at this, week after week.
Yeah.
And maybe create sort of a mosaic of what we can discern about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And just two more things that I want to make sure we say here at the outset. Number one, like the reason we want to talk about this is that, one of the things we talk about, we train leaders to lead like Jesus, right? To make disciples and to live in the way of Jesus. And this is a crucial aspect of being able to do this well, no matter if you're just leading, kids in your family or you're leading a church with hundreds of people. It is crucial for us to navigate and be aware of these power issues and how they are affecting kind of the way that we see everything. So it's key for us to be able to live like Jesus, lead like Jesus, for us to be able to discern these issues. I forgot the second thing. Maybe it'll come back to me. Anyway.
Maybe it's not important.
Maybe it's not important.
Well, good thing
maybe
it's a series.
It'll come up on the next one, maybe,
okay.
If it's super important.
All right. So, anything else, Hardman?
I just remembered what it was.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Let me run that back. Yeah, anything else, Sternke?
Oh, yeah, yeah. One more thing that I forgot earlier. And it's, I think the other thing that I want to say is that we have convictions about how the good news of Jesus actually speaks to these issues. So this isn't just a cultural anthropology exercise where we're like, how do we think about power? And let's think about it better. But we're actually trying to say, like, what does Jesus have to say about this? What does he show us in the Gospels? What does the New Testament reveal about the way that God calls us into inhabiting power? How does God inhabit power? What does it mean that God has power? How does he show us that? And then how does he then give us that in his authority and all that kind of thing? So that's part of what we want to do is say, like, how do we learn to lead in a new way?
Yeah.
You know, how can we, is this inevitable? We just have to sort of hope we don't, end up abusing power one day?
Yeah.
Or is there a way out of this? Can we learn to discern these things and practice leadership, power in a new way?
Well, good thing I've been reading the Bible recently. It's one of my books. No, so we're not just deconstructing and critiquing, but we want to construct and paint a proactive picture we can move towards.
Amen.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. Well, friends, you're welcome to come along with us.
Yeah.
As we go, we'll be sharing stories. It's hard to share stories of being in positions of churches, maybe, or families where we have experienced abuse of power. It's complicated, right?
It's very hard
to take a private happening and make it public without somebody else being able to speak to it.
Yeah.
All three of us have experienced abusive leadership power, and we're going to try to find ways to share parts of those stories as we go and hear from others who feel like they're in a place to share those stories, because we need that. We need permission to own and name what's happened. So we look forward to this. We hope that you will benefit from it and participate in it. So give us your feedback and thoughts. We'd love to share it. Even if it's anonymously, we can share anonymously. I think your story could help others. So just email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com, and we will see you, you will hear us
right
next week.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Well, I just said it again.
Yeah. It's
like a cultural, hi, good to see you, even though I'm recording my voice into a...
It is weird to say you'll hear us next week.
You'll hear us next
week. Oh, I'll be talking at your ear hole next week.
You'll hear from us next week.
It doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. It seems ominous.
Can we just say goodbye, friends?
Goodbye, friends.
Goodbye,
friends. Bye. Goodbye, friends.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. If you enjoy learning from this podcast, please be sure to show your support by rating, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes. Be sure to share with your friends on social media too. And we would love to hear from you. So please email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com. You can join our online community for free at gravityleadership.com/join. You'll get our latest content delivered straight to your inbox, as well as an email most Fridays with curated links to articles we found interesting or helpful. To join us, go to gravityleadership.com/join.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.